I think if we can have everybody get settled, we'll go ahead and get started again. Can I get your name, sir?
Jesse Reinert.
I didn't catch that.
Jesse Reinert. Reinert, R-E-I-N-E-R-T.
Okay. And Mr. Reinert, I need to give you the oath, advise you of the penalty for perjury in North Dakota. It is a Class C felony. It's punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both, and being advised of the penalty for perjury. Do you promise to tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Go ahead.
I'm here on behalf of the Laborers Training Center out of Minnesota, North Dakota. And I just wanted to talk briefly a few minutes here about some of the training that we do for our laborers that some of our pipeline companies employ. Excuse me. One of them is a very, very extensive 40-hour pipeline safety course that we cover. A lot of the stuff that has been going on here today as far as acquiring land, stripping topsoil, and then the biggest one that I think was a concern for some of you on the commission board was erosion control. We have a separate class for that one where our laborers are trained in erosion control and understand the methods that need to be used to reestablish that land back to the original state. In addition to that, we also have OSHA 30 class that some of our pipeline contractors require, or OSHA 10, excuse me, that we do. So they're trained on some of the rules and regulations as far as when it comes to safety. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Biella, do you have any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Pelham?
No questions.
Ms. Prescott?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't have any questions, Jesse, but thanks for your work to train the folks and keep them operating to high standards.
Thank you.
Commissioner Christman?
No questions, but I'll just add to that. And for making it known to the public, the kinds of training that these people have. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kalk?
Same thing. Thanks for being here, and thanks for your dedication to pipeline safety.
Thank you. In addition, I do have some of the Laborers International Union of North America training videos that we use when it comes to pipeline and pipeline safety. I do have some copies if anyone's interested in taking a look at that, so you can see some of the stuff that we do offer for our members when it comes to the pipeline safety course.
Okay. Mr. Broughton, did you have any questions? Mr. Van Grinsven?
No questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Reinert.
Thank you.
I'll
bring it up to you. Anybody else?
I'm with you. Sure.
You got him with you, absolutely. I want the blue one, not the pink one, though.
Thank you.
Thank you. Julie the blue.
He's just too shy to say he likes pink.
I don't want this one. Can I get your name?
Sure, Rick Lawler.
All right.
L-A-W-L-A-R. They always spell it E-R, but that's not the same Lawler.
L-A-W what?
L-A-R.
A-R. Yeah. Okay. Great. And Mr. Lawler, I need to give you the same oath, advise you of the penalty for perjury. It's a Class C felony. It's punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter?
Yes, sir, I sure do. And my section and township and range that I'm talking about is 149-9521. Just so you didn't have to ask me. I suppose I should give some qualifications. Right out of high school, I got a full-ride scholarship to the University of Hanoi. And when I went to take my physical, they told me to stay home. I just thought I'd share that. Just so you guys had some, that's where I was coming from. Few years later, we won't go into that. Okay, I'm here because of the pipeline. I know we got to have pipelines. I know that. We got several across our ranch and farm. Everybody's all concerned about the price of the land. I always get a kick out of that. What's your land worth? Well, if you're going to put a pipeline in it, it's no longer farming or grazing. It's industrial land. What's industrial land worth? People don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. I can't do anything on it. unless I get an okay from them. If that's not industrial, I don't know what is. It's not a tank farm, I know, but without the pipeline running across my farm, your tank farm would rust in piling a piece of junk because it had nowhere to go with the oil. We do have, this has been a very unpleasant situation trying to negotiate this. I do have about five lines or so across my place. I'm not saying we're the easiest people in the world to get along with. I wouldn't lie about that because I don't want to go to jail. And and so consequently, because of that, but on the same token, we've always been able to come to an agreement. We do have one of our own easement that we use. Because the reclamation, that's a nightmare. And it's not only going to be with you guys. No, you claim you're going to do it, but I know better. I sat here and listened to that. I thought, I've heard that song and that story so many times, I can dance to it, you know. But that's just the way it is. I mean, my son just about tore the bottom out of an air seeder this spring going across the ditch. Well, you replace the guts of a 60-foot air seeder, and then you tell me how much you enjoy that pipeline. It's a frustration. It's a frustration not only to me, but to a lot of agriculturists, you know. And then you can't give any more money because you're a transmission line. You don't make as much money, but yet the transmissions are the only transmission stocks I know over the past 20 years that have paid a dividend. And they're not making any money? Boy, I wish I could get into that business. But the point is here we sit as agriculturists throughout the state of North Dakota. North Dakota was doing very well. I was in Texas. I have three kids. I live in Texas because they don't like snow. And anyway, when I went down to see them, they were giving me a bad time one day at a particular business I was in about being from North Dakota. And everybody laughed and had a great time. And when they got all done, I said, you know, if that means that I live in a state that's in the black and I'm a redneck, thank you for the compliment. And that was the end of that. Because North Dakota has always took care of itself, even before the oil come. Now, I know we have to develop oil. We have to have pipelines. I know that. But I don't think we're a bunch of dummies just because we wear boots and a hat. And that's the way we get treated. And that's the way I feel you've treated us. They say, well, our permit men aren't like that. Oh, really? I wonder what happened to the poor guy that came to my house. Was he on crack? You see, we have a right to be treated with respect. My neighbors do too. I'm against this pipeline, not because I'm against it, but my neighbors are. See, I don't think that I'm not one to want to push something on my neighbors that they don't want, and they're not going to do it to me. But I think they deserve to be treated like people. And it's upset some of them really bad. And I'm just lippier than they are. It's basically the big deal. But I'm against it. And we weren't arguing about it all. We said before we sign this easement, we want to see it. And you're out of the ballpark on what you're paying per rod. Guess what their next words were? Eminent domain. Really? You mean it? I said it's like watching a TV Western where the guy comes into town with the shining horse with his silver pistols and gets the sheriff and the judge on his side. And he can do whatever he wants. That's not right. Four generations for me. When you tear up my land, it hurts me. I feel it. You think, oh, that's crazy. But it's not crazy. It's a truth. You can ask my wife. It's a truth. When you tear up my place and leave it like a junk hole, it hurts me. I take care of my land. I've never won any awards. I probably never will. But you never see the Lawler selling cattle when the weather gets bad. You never see us running out of hay. You never see our granaries empty. Why? Because we work hard and we take care of the land because we know that if we take care of the land will take care of us. And that's my living. And now I have a son that's in the business with me. And oil company just come in and permitted 17 wells in one quarter. Well, It's got a crop of wheat on it like that. Sure, they're going to give something for it, but considering what industrial property is, it's peanuts. And my boy went out there and sat, excuse me if I lose it a little bit, but he went out there and sat and looked at that. And it bothered him that they were going to tear up all of that land and put an oil well on there. And you say, oh, you go get the money. Boy, I wish that was the answer to all of these woes, was money. That's what the whole world's been throwing at everybody, is if you just give me this pipeline, I'll give you some money. And you know what that one guy for the one pipeline looked at me and said, I'll give you $365,000, he said. And I just looked him in the eye and I said, no, thank you. And he just about swallowed his tongue because he's going to tear up some more of my land. And he didn't care what it looked like. I know when it was done. So I'm sorry if I got a little emotional, but it's real to me. This is not just something I make up. I came here because I don't know where else to go. Where do I go get some help? Huh? Hopefully you guys deny them that access. And maybe the next one that comes in will be different. Or maybe they'll turn around and be different and get it back. I don't know. People came here. I could tell you sad stories of people I talked to, because I talked to everybody that came to McKenzie County to work that didn't have work. I could tell you story after story and have you weeping in your on your pieces of paper of that, because people are out of work. They need some place to work. Sure, they're going to take 400 and some thousand, 80,000 barrels a day out. Are they going to take people out of work? Us that have jobs, we don't think about that. We think big deal. Have you ever been out of work? I have. I worked on the last rig in McKenzie County or in the Williston Basin years ago when I was a kid, and they laid me off. And I lived in Williston, North Dakota at the time. I couldn't even afford to buy gas to drive downtown. I know what it's like to be without work. It wasn't much fun. And everybody that looked at me that had a job thought, what's wrong with that dumb kid? But I made it. I found there was jobs in Alaska, and I went up there. But I made it, and my wife and I raised four kids. So anyway, I'll shut up. I wish you would I hope you take in consideration that, and I would like to see them denied.
Thank you, Mr. Lawler.
You're welcome.
Mr. Biella, do you have any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Pelham?
You. Good afternoon. Good evening, Mr. Lawyer.
Oh, and by the way, just to share, I was served too after I give them permission.
Okay, so for the survey easement, they have access now, but you were served and you consented at that point.
I consented before. I just got served afterwards.
I see. Okay, and you say your words, you want the application denied. Are you negotiating with Dakota Access at present? No.
No.
Are you opposed then straight up?
Well, I'm not opposed, still not opposed to it, but how do you negotiate a no-show?
Okay.
How do you take your wife to dinner if she don't show up?
All right, thank you, sir. No other questions.
Ms. Prescott?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
Thank you, Mr. Lawler. You've made your position pretty clear. I don't think I have any questions for you. Thanks for taking time to be here.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Christman?
Appreciate you being here. One other detail on the summons regarding the survey access.
Yes, sir.
The previous gentleman who had that happen then subsequently got another note in the mail that kind of to disregard or however it was stated. Did you also get that? Or
I never got the disregard. I just disregarded.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome.
That.
Commissioner Kolk?
Thank you for your time today, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay, one second. I got a couple others. Mr. Broughton, did you have any questions?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Van Grinsven?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Lawler. And can you get your name?
Sure. Andy Peterson from the Greater North Dakota Chamber, okay. Formerly known for most people as the GNDA.
And, Mr. Peterson, I need to give you the oath, advise you of the penalty for perjury in North Dakota. It's a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both, Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I'll be brief. So I learned a lot today about pipeline installation, pipeline operation, pipeline safety, and, of course, landowner concerns. I have to say that I've attended a lot of hearings in my time in the public policy arena, some as late as 2 in the morning, but never before on a Friday evening. So this is a first for me. I'm going to say that we do support this pipeline project. Pipelines are the way to the future with energy security in America. And if we can't find our way to pipelines, we're going to be in trouble, especially in the Bakken. Takeaway is everything. It does bring a lot of jobs to our area, which we appreciate. I appreciated the gentleman before me that came from the Labor's Union in Minneapolis. This is how much it means to those folks to go to work every single day. So it does provide jobs for them. So there are hundreds of valuable construction jobs, millions of dollars of revenue for local retailers, restaurants, material, equipment, all those kinds of things, and increased property tax rates. And without pipelines, the refineries in America are going to soon find themselves dependent entirely upon rail traffic if we don't get to that, or foreign oil. So it is about energy independence in this country. I remind all of my colleagues from around the country when I visit with them, and I get together with all of the state chamber presidents a couple of times a year, that we are responsible for $2 gasoline in this country. We've been that dynamic with that. But again, it is pipelines. And as I talk to the folks on the East Coast and the pushback that they get from trains, pipelines, of course, are the way to go, and of course, down to the Gulf as well. So what I've learned today overall is that, you know, we've got some work to do in this area. I don't want to minimize the concerns of the landowners. I hear them. I hear that what their concerns are. But I hope that we can find our way through this. North Dakota is known to be fairly progressive when it comes to business development. Of course, that is our number one goal at the Chamber, is to make North Dakota the number one business climate of all 50 states. And so let's make it happen. Let's get there. And let's make sure that everybody's concerns are addressed and respected. With that, I'll just turn over for questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Mr. Biella, any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham?
No, sir.
Ms. Prescott? Commissioner Fedorchak?
Thank you, Andy, for being here and spending the day and with this fine education in our line of work over the last 9 hours. You're not telling us you're going to run for the Public Service Commission, are you?
No, I am never going to run for public office.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you.
Commissioner Christman?
Thanks for sticking around this late, Andy. Appreciate yes. it. And you come here to represent the business community.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kalk?
Thank you, Andy. Drive safe on your way home.
All right. And if you guys need a ride...
Mr. Broughton, did you have any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Van Grinsven?
No.
Okay. Thank you,
thank
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you so much.
Can I get your name?
My name is Ryan Davidson.
Okay. And Mr. Davidson, I need to give you the oath, advise you of the penalty for perjury in North Dakota. It's a Class C felony. It's punishable by maximum fine of $10,000. Maximum 5 years imprisonment or both, and being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Go ahead.
I'm a landowner and a farmer over in just south of Tioga, actually. I own a couple parcels of property that this pipeline crosses. They're both in Pleasant Valley Township, which is 15695. One's in Section 31. And one's in Section 32. And actually, Section 32 is the same section where the Ramberg facility sits. And 31, I'm right west of where the Ramberg facility is. So I know pipelines down there. I could show you maps, and you could see nothing but colors. It's where when they come in with this easement and they said, we're going to run this line there, I'm like, well... where, you know, but they, you know, they, if you can find a place to put it, you can put it, you know, and my opinion with pipelines has been when you start talking about landowner fatigue, you know, we've been right in it, you know, for, you know, I'm fifth generation up there, four out of five generations have dealt with this, dealt with oil development up there, But when they, so my opinion with my outlook on pipelines has become, you know, well, let's just make this quick and painless. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid, you know. But when they come in, I feel kind of bad, you know. You hear all these other landowners talk, and my experience with the company was actually fairly favorable. They gave me the, you know, we started talking, you know, they showed the easement, they showed the route, and it's been rerouted a couple times, and you know, they've had communication on every time, and they gave me time to examine the easement, and they said, well, you know, have you had time yet? And they'd call, and I'm like, well, I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but I'll get on it. And I put them off like 2-3 times, and you know, finally we did come to an agreement, and we signed the easement, and like I stated, you know, my experience was not a bad one. I mean, you know, so that's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson. Mr. Biela, any questions? Mr. Pelham?
Just briefly, so your testimony is, as I gather, you felt comfortable working with the land agents and with the company through the process and the easement negotiation?
Yes, sir.
And you felt that the company negotiated with you under fair terms, in your opinion?
Yes. I mean, I suppose by from the time I seen the first easement to when, you know, I suppose it was probably 2 months, you know, and I was comfortable.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Ms. Prescott? Commissioner Fedorchak?
Thank you, Ryan, for coming up. Do you have you heard a lot of consternation among your neighbors, et cetera? Or do you think that the folks who are in favor of it just aren't showing up because they don't have any beef with it?
Lauren Wise is my neighbor to the west, mm-hmm. or to the east, excuse me. And Charles Ramberg, he's not too much further away from me. So, and I haven't spoken with them. I haven't really spoken with anybody about, mm-hmm. you know, the proposed line. I hadn't talked to them about it, and any of the other landowners to the west, I haven't spoken with any of them either.
Do you have an easement with the Enbridge Sandpiper too? Are you on the same route?
I'm not on the Sandpiper side of it. There is an Enbridge line on the west in 31.
Okay.
But that's been there long before I ever owned the property.
I see. Okay. I don't have any other questions. Thanks for taking time to be here today.
Commissioner Christman.
About how much distance does this project traverse your property?
32, section 32 is approximately 3/4 of a mile. Section 31 would be probably about 1/3 of a mile.
So I don't even know if it's quite a mile altogether.
Yeah, about a mile altogether.
And is that mostly annual crops or hay or grazing?
It's there's most of in 32 is all crop. 31 is mixture of crop, and there's a little bit of pasture in there, which it kind of goes through. That's just pasture because it's a deep ravine.
Did you have anything you asked special for as far as the reclamation or reseeding or anything like that? Any special provisions?
No. As far as, you know, we're crossing the grass, you know, I just said a native North Dakota grass, you know, and that's, you know, that's about it.
Okay. Appreciate you being here. It's nice to hear that side of the coin as well.
Commissioner Kolk?
Just thank you for your time today, Ryan.
Mr. Broughton?
Just a couple real quick questions, mm-hmm. Following up on what Commissioner Christman asked. So the easement you signed with Dakota Access, did you make any changes or additions to the easement before signing it?
No, I did not.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Van Grinsven?
No questions.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson.
Thank you.
Can I get your name?
It's Matt Duncombe.
What was the last name? Could you spell it, please?
D-U-N
C-O-M-B-E.
Okay. And are you appearing on behalf of an organization?
With the Laborers Union of North Dakota.
Okay. And I need to give you the oath, advise you of the penalty for perjury in North Dakota. It's a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, a maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
First and foremost, I have been a laborer on the pipeline for the last 8 years. I've done many different jobs on the line, but mainly with environmental and cleanup crews. Basically, when I say environmental crews, it consists of laborers that specifically is on the job, and they are basically the first ones on the job and the last ones to leave. This is the most manual labor job on the line, I believe. They are specifically there to do erosion control, put in new or replace many things to keep the pipeline environmentally friendly. Sometimes, depending on how long the job is, there are more than one environmental crew. I have personally worked in the eastern part of the country where the terrain is straight up and straight down to where you couldn't drive because the hills were so steep. We managed to keep that environmentally friendly just as good as we could in North Dakota because the experienced people we put on the environmental crews and the hard work we put in it. Again, I've done this in the best and the worst terrain I believe in the country. I know many people like myself who take a lot of pride in restoration of the environment we are going through. I'm confident in saying there are many ways to control the environmental issues on the pipeline. Every job I've been on there are certain standards set in place for different types of environmental issues. There are very good ways to control water and sediment. We call them erosion controls. With the restoration part, everyone spends a lot of time on this pipeline. I've gone as far as walking long distance just so we wouldn't have tire tracks on the right-of-way when we're finished. They even have certain machines just for the restoration part. I would say companies I've worked for have really tried hard to impress the landowner and the gas company to show that they put the land back as good or better than we started. Think about it. If we did a bad job, the contractor probably wouldn't get another job. So, of course, we're going to do whatever we can to make it look great. I wanted to come to speak today to show people I am one of the guys that actually puts in a hard day's work and sometimes nights on these types of jobs. And guys like me would call this specific job a home run because it's a long job and it can keep us in one spot for a while. That means a steady pay for some long time. One thing you have to remember is a lot of people, like myself, count on these jobs for their careers, and I am one in particular. My family, such as my kids and my wife, relies on this type of work to support them. Not only travelers, but we try very hard in bringing local people to these types of work to make a career out of it. With the way contractors and companies nowadays follow the very strict environmental health and safety procedures set in place to make everyone is happy in the end, and I will be proud to say I was involved in building this project if it proceeds. Another note, I think I can specify when you were asking about the certain machines. Basically, you know, you got your Traco excavator, you got your bulldozer, and then there's a bucket on there that is called a mop bucket or sometimes a blade bucket that it looks like a bulldozer blade that's hooked up to a Traco, and that's kind of how they start on the edge of the right-of-way, and we'll pull it back. You know, and now, you know, this is all previous work. This isn't anything, you know, I can't guarantee what they'll do, but, you know, they got GPSs on those bulldozers now, and I mean, that can determine how far to go down and separating that topsoil from the subsoil. You know, they're real, real strict and real particular at the start of the job to explain that kind of stuff, you know, how to do that. And basically, with the operators, they have, like, what we call them, right-of-way hands that just strictly do just that right-of-way or restoration. They stick at their same thing, so it's not too many unexperienced people moving that topsoil back. I hope that helped you out as far as the equipment wise. I've never heard of a scraper. I mean, we've had you know, the dozers, what we call, but I've never heard of any kind of just scraper alone. So I hope it cleared up a little bit. Yep.
Conclude your testimony?
Yep.
Okay. Mr. Biela, do you have any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Pelham?
No questions.
Ms. Prescott?
No, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Thank you, Matt, for being here. I don't have any questions for you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Christman?
Me neither, Matt, but thanks.
Commissioner Kalk?
Just thanks, Matt, for your clarification on some of the ways you guys do business. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Mr. Broughton, any questions?
No questions right now. I appreciate that, and I might want to track you down afterwards and talk
sure,
about it.
Sure, no problem.
Too.
Mr. Van Grinsven?
No questions. Thanks again for lunch.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Paul Weirach. Last name is Weirauch.
And Mr. Weirach, I need to give you the same oath and advise you of the penalty for perjury in North Dakota. It's a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum fine of $10,000, maximum 5 years imprisonment, or both. Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
I didn't want to be a complete parrot and echo everything that's been said as far as some of the landowners, but some of the things that we've had, our landman has been a very, very polite. He's not brought up public, you know, eminent domain, anything along that line. However, we've given some specific things, like some of the other landowners have said, and things that we wanted on our easement. And he's been very persistent at coming back, but he doesn't have any information when he gets there. He wants the easement signed. And as Mr. Davidson said, I mean, it would have went very, very simply if we just signed the easement. I mean, he was a very pleasant man, and it would have been a good experience. But we didn't like what was on the easement. So obviously that's where the problems come in. If you just sign the easement, everything does go pretty well. In particular, there was earlier testimony stating there was about 40 requirements or 40 things that they look at when they determine the route. And there's a spot along the 2 miles that I operate that looks to me like it'd be good if they just went straight through. There's a corridor, there's a whole bunch of other pipelines there. Like on both sides of the road, there's, I think it's around 12 pipelines, 13, something like that. And they could just parallel that and go right to it. Well, they decided to go make a jog and go around. And they said, we'd like you to just go straight through. And he said, it's kind of past that point. You know, we've already submitted it to the Public Service Commission and really can't change it. I said, well, why don't you see if you can change it? And up to this point, there hasn't been anything brought back on the items on the easement that we wanted, and also the straightening of that out. Now, if there's 40 reasons that they can think of, or one of those 40 reasons, they could come back and say, we can't straighten it because of this reason. But instead, it's just been, it's kind of too late for that. And I assume that it has to do with the amount of engineering that goes into it, and this is what they've determined, and that's just the way it is. And I guess I'd like to, Commissioner Kalk had brought up something to allow them maybe a little bit more leeway to say, this isn't the exact corridor, but maybe we could go within a certain amount so those things could be done after the Public Service Commission gives their okay, so that there's a little bit of leeway as to routing to meet landowner requests. So something to consider, I guess, if you can do that. As far as the pipeline in general goes, I know we need pipelines, and I'm not opposed to the pipeline. So that's all I have.
Mr. Weirach, what's the legal description of the affected property?
It would be Section 4 and 5, 155-97. I believe that's correct.
Okay. Mr. Biella, do you have any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Pelham?
Williams County?
Yes.
Okay. So no answer on the route issue, no response at this point? Other
correct.
Than
it's, to be fair, during seeding, I told him, don't bother me.
Okay.
So there was a time period but when I got done with seating, we set up an appointment, and then he called and canceled the appointment because he didn't have any answers.
What is it on the easement that in particular you have requested in that?
There was a bunch of remediation type things, and as I've told them, many of the pipeline companies that I deal with, anybody can smooth it out and make it look good the first year or two. When it settles, when the pipeline inevitably settles, it just does. I can stand here all day and tell you they're going to pack it down to what it was originally, but it's not. There's going to be settlement. It's how they treat you down the road. And that's some of the things that I want put in the easement to take care of us 2 and 5 and 10, 20 years down the road, how they're going to handle it. When I say I just banged my head on the sprayer window because I fell in a hole while I was spraying that wasn't there when I seeded. And past experience with pipeline companies, they usually don't do much. However, Recently, I've been working with Enbridge, had very good experience with them, as well as Crestwood.
So, thank you, sir. No other questions.
Ms. Prescott?
No questions, Your Honor.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Weirach. On the, in terms of route changes, just so you kind of understand our process, there's plenty of time for route changes at the request of landowners. Whether the land agents know that or are instructed by that, or, you know, that's one, that is another story, but there's plenty of time, and we've had other, you know, pipeline siting processes where after the hearing there were comments made by landowners suggesting we'd rather have this, that, or the other, and it made sense to us, and, you know, worked with the company and got it done. So there is time. There's also, it's very common after a permit is granted, when the construction is actually occurring and there's, you know, equipment out in the field, and it just doesn't seem like the route makes that much sense. And there's deviations that are made at that point. Sometimes it's within the corridor, sometimes it's outside of the original corridor. All of these things happen on a regular basis, and there's processes to allow for that.
Sure.
So
I'm assuming
there's plenty of time still for route changes.
And I'm assuming part of the route change, though, involves cash, because they got to redo some surveys, they got to redo some environmental assessments, whatever it might be. And in this case, there's no landowner change. It's just a different spot on the same property. And part of the corridor that's in place, if everyone would have went like this on the land, there wouldn't be as many pipelines in there now. And there's no real reason that they can't go beside the other pipelines that I know of, unless there's one of 40.
Well, like you said, maybe there is a reason for they're doing that, and hopefully you'll get an answer to that. And
the important part with that is to come back with a timely answer and say, okay, we have 40 parameters, and it doesn't meet two of these parameters, and this is why. It's just an education process, and it might be a perfectly good reason. We just don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you're taking a pretty reasonable approach, and I hope you get answers and are able to come to voluntary agreement with the company.
Thank you guys for having this in Williston. I appreciate that, too. Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Chrisman?
Do you think that physically there's room in this corridor where you'd like to see them go without getting too close to some of the existing ones, or has it been constrained down to where that area is full?
If you look at this room, this is about 50 feet wide, and if every company takes up another 50 feet or 75 feet or whatever, there won't be room soon, because there's a lot of pipelines there. But in this case, yes, there's plenty of room.
Okay.
There is something that looked like they may have went around the farmyard there, but there's plenty of room between the pipeline and the farmyard to get through.
Okay, and my eyes are getting tired for following maps here, so explain to me generally where in Williams County you are.
Just south of Ray, about 4 miles south of Ray.
Okay, south of Ray.
Yeah.
And lastly, your 2 miles... Is that mostly annual crops or hay or pasture?
Yes, it's all annual crops.
Okay, thank you. Yep.
Commissioner Colt?
Just thank you, Paul, for your time today and sticking through.
Sure.
Mr. Broughton?
Just a couple quick questions. You mentioned you have a number of pipelines on your property. Did you negotiate the easements on those other pipelines?
Yes, and I had it was very amicable, good negotiations at least.
And some of the provisions on reclamation that you mentioned, are those things that you've had included in past easements?
They're all things that are taken out of the other pipeline contracts that I have in place.
Okay, thank you. So.
Mr. Van Grinsven?
No, thank you, Mr. Weirach.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Weirach.
Sure.
Anybody else? Okay. Mr. Biela, did you have anybody else that you were looking to recall or call at this time?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Before we conclude the hearing, I guess there were a number of potential late-filed exhibits that were discussed. I think at this time maybe we should go through and clarify what those were and what is still needed. Mr. Pelham, do you have a list of what you believe the commission would like? I've got some notes, but...
I do have a list, and others can add to that or subtract. But updated map as to the alternate site now at Trenton Tank Facility, an analysis as to the Hilly property alternative now that there is a map, crossing points on the 13-mile section on the Enbridge line, where those are on the map. Also, along those lines, with the Sandpiper 1 mile area where the pipeline's parallel, a map showing those specific locations. Now, whether or not that's provided by Enbridge or by Dakota Access or a compilation of the two, from the Commission's perspective, that is not really relevant, just that something is provided so we can see that. An analysis on the Tesoro Corridor, just additional information on that. An indication as to the length, how far back from riverbeds for water crossing that the boring would start and end. Copies of the waivers for businesses and residences within 500 feet. And then a leak history of noteworthy leaks prior to 2012 was also requested. That's what I have.
I don't have anything in addition to that. Mr. Biella, with respect to the document with that related to Enbridge, were you intending to submit that? Or, Mr. Van Grinsven, were you intending to submit something as a late file exhibit on that?
Brian?
Go ahead, Mr. Biella, if you want.
Well, I guess that's something we probably the two companies need to work out.
Yet. That's fine. We don't have to decide that now, but as long as a document does get submitted as a late file exhibit. So.
Okay.
Was there anything else, Mr. Biella, that you had that wasn't included on that list?
Can you give me just a second?
That's fine.
If I may, I would also, too, like to just double-check. So, you know, I don't want it to be hard and fast. If there is something else, I would like the opportunity to make mention of it after this hearing. If that's
fine. Well, why don't we leave it at this? We don't need to decide what precisely all of the late filed exhibits are right now. If counsel for Public Service Commission and for each of the interveners and for the applicant can get together and submit the list of the late filed exhibits that are to be supplied, and that will include those that have already been discussed and if there are any others. So,
okay.
Is there anything else, Mr. Biella, on behalf of Dakota Access at this time before we close the hearing?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Pelham?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Broughton?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Van Grinsven?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Before we close, I'll take closing comments from the commissioners. Commissioner Fedorchak?
Well, thank you to all of those out in the audience who still stuck around and saw this through to the bitter end. It's been a productive day. We covered a lot of issues. We've covered every possible angle of this pipeline in the last three hearings, three hearings total, I think. So we have now just an analysis time period. What we'll do is wait for the late filed exhibits to come in. Typically takes a few weeks. And then we'll start having work sessions, the three of us talking about the issues. We typically kind of go through them one by one and try to see what can be done to address all the issues that were brought up, what the status is and that sort of thing. So everybody's comments really do matter, and we really do take them to heart and try to find a way to see that the interests of those who expressed opinions are addressed in any type of final order that we provide. You know, I started talking about balance, and I'll conclude talking about balance. That's what this is all about, balancing the interests of orderly development and minimizing impact. And that impact does involve human impact and impact to families and generations of family, farmers and ranchers. those are very valid concerns that need to be recognized as well. I think it's interesting that in the 3 days, there were very few, I think fewer than a handful of people who spoke up who were flat out opposed, who said they just don't want it. Most of them said, we'll do it. We just need this, this, and that accommodated. We have concerns. So I continue to be hopeful that the company will reach a voluntary agreement with a vast majority of the landowners along this line. These people want to negotiate. They want to have their concerns addressed. And a lot of what was expressed to me seems fairly reasonable. We aren't getting involved, you know, we didn't get into details on financials, but certainly the reclamation concerns are born out of experience, and these people are going to be here for many more generations. We have to do this right. So I'm optimistic. It's going to take some time, but we'll get through this, and we're not in any big rush to get this done in any set timeline. We'll take some time and make sure that we consider it carefully and get to the right decision in the end. So thank you, everybody. Thank you to the company for your response to our questions and getting us back to us with information, and to the judge for keeping things going orderly, and to the staff for all their hard work, and the interveners as well. Thank you.
Commissioner Chrisman.
I just also echo the appreciation for most of our guests today have already left, but for those of you who are still here, thank you. For those who might be listening over the internet, thank you. It's been another enlightening day in this process, a project that I think, as Julie mentioned, most everybody that testifies, even the opponents of parts of the project, seem to be generally in favor of seeing the project get done, but sure bring up a lot of issues. And I think it's pretty clear after today that there's more work to be done on this project. And we'll continue on with our process, and I hope a lot more work is being accomplished in the coming days and weeks up in the area here.
Commissioner Kolk?
Yeah, the last guy before we leave, right? The done a lot of hearings in the last few years, probably closing in on 100 of them. And I don't recall a set of hearings where there's been this many open-ended issues when the hearings are done. And so really urge the company and the interveners, as you get the information, get it to us. Because as Commissioner Fedorchuk said and Randy said before, we need the best information to make the best decision. So there's a lot of questions that are out there. So get these late filed exhibits in, button up these loose ends, and then we'll make a decision. So appreciate everybody staying through all this one. But of the complexity of the hearings that I've been involved in, this might be the most complex. So look forward to getting the final information, and we'll make a good decision. Thank you.
Thank you. And that will conclude the public hearing.